Rabbi Beryl Wein is a historian, a teacher of Torah, a lawyer, a columnist, and a popular Jerusalem lecturer. In the program Wein Online, he talks about the meaning of the Torah portion of the week. Rabbi Wein, we're back. What parsha are we talking about this week?
Ki Tisa, which is the probably one of the most painful parshas in the Torah because of the fact that it describes a golden calf. And the perplexing thing that strikes us all is that, we're just, a few days away from Sinai, and we're a few weeks away from the splitting of the Red Sea, and we're just came out of Egypt a month ago, and what is going on here with the golden calf? What is with these people? How do you fall like that? So there are many lessons. First of all, there are lessons that this is what happened. Nobody has a contract. Nobody has a guarantee, right? And one minute you can be the most pious person in the world, and the next minute you can be dancing around the golden calf. And the rabbis say that the golden calf really represented the triumph of sexual immorality and of desire and that's what it represented. It's not that people believed in calves. It's just the fact that if you say you believe in the calf, a lot of things become permissible. Or if you say you believe in the Torah, they're not permissible. So that's one lesson. But I think a deeper lesson that's involved is that people need something to believe in. And it's a really sophisticated jump for a slave people to believe in a God who cannot be seen, who reveals himself in all different fashions, who doesn't run the world the way we would like it run. And it becomes difficult. It becomes, it's a taxing proposition to believe that way. So again, as long as they had Moshe, last week we spoke about the absence of Moshe, but this week we'll speak about the presence of Moshe. Mm-hmm. As long as they had Moshe that with them, so they were familiar. Oish Moshe, the great man Moshe, we don't know what happened to him, but now, how are we going to do it without Moshe, right? Man, we don't see God, and we don't see anyone. We're stuck here in the middle of the desert. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Where are we going? Let's go back to Egypt. We can't go back to Egypt, so we'll have Egyptian gods here. We'll make our own Egypt. And it's lonely to be a Jew, right? The rest of the world, the value system of the rest of the world is antithetical to us, to what we believe in. I mean, look in today's modern society, right? Everything that's progressive, Judaism looks at, not everything, but almost everything that's progressive, we look at with horror.
Progressive in quotation.
That's right. So, we're not interested in being the cutting edge. Not every cause of libertarianism represents Judaism. So the people want they want to have the golden calf. And it's not all the Jewish people that want it, but a significant number want it. And that becomes the test. So the golden, that's why God says that v'yom pokti pokadeti, whenever there are problems, the golden calf is still here. And it's here in our time. There are plenty of people that dance around it. There are plenty of people that are convinced, Eile Lehecha Yisrael, this is your God, O Israel. That Judaism stands for this and for this and for this, when Judaism stands just the opposite. So the lesson of the golden calf is a bitter lesson, but it's here. And I think that if we remember that what occurred, we can be more wary in how we look at things, and we can rely that the Torah will be able to guide us through it, and we shouldn't succumb to false gods, false ideals, false promises that never have panned out. But we should stick with our old reliable Torah.
Rabbi Beryl Wein on the lessons to be learned from the golden calf. You've been listening to Rabbi Beryl Wein talking about the Torah portion of the week. Join us again next week.